It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I do believe we just have one participant today because a bunch of people are away and can't make it, but we do have...
But what a participant
the
that
boss.
Is.
That's Janet right. Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Happy
got
to
the
be
head
here.
Guy.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
All right. So, so we explained Cynthia's away and couldn't make it, and so poor... The poor boss is here.
I think he's. I think it's a great thing.
I'm happy to be here, and you know who will probably come next week is Alexander Wilburn, who is our associate editor and special sections guy, who will be filling in for much of what Cynthia generally does when she is away this week. So he will know the paper better than she does next week. So we're hoping he'll come in and. Chat right in the studio with her.
I don't know how many people know that Alexander Wilburn began his career at Tri-State Public Communications.
That's correct.
He should be able to find his way here. Yeah. If not, we'll have his mother drive him.
Yeah. You know, we said that to him, too, and all we got was an eye roll. I don't know what that means.
You'll pursue.
That's right.
Okay, good. Because we just think he's great, and we're so happy he's with us and helping fill in. We know it'll be a fascinating paper next week, as it is this week.
All right. We will take a look at the front page right now, and I'll start up with Patrick Sullivan's story on the upper right-hand corner, Towns Say No to State Mandates.
Right, and you know, this may not be the first time towns are pushing back on state mandates. Let's clarify, and you'll see this in the article, unfunded mandates, because it makes it very hard for the towns when the state tries to fill in their budget gaps by going to the towns that they think may have a few extra pennies rolling around and look for them to fill in the gaps. So this is a serious issue that the city of Torrington has been identified as one of three municipalities that meet, and here's the quote, fiscal disparity criteria in state law. So the COG, the Northwest Hills Council of Governments, was approached to come up with some answers to what could be done to help Torrington and help this region. And to their credit, the 21 members of the COG have come up with 13 suggestions and 13 requests, of the state. And they came together, and there's some interesting reading here in Patrick's article about how they are answering the state and how they're coming up with ideas to help the region.
All right. And the Council of Governments itself has undergone quite a change over the past few years, becoming much more regional as well.
Correct. Expanding its geographic reach so that, while it used to be in, Warren, Connecticut, and right above Kent, and we just had our northwest corner towns in there. Now we have Northwest Hills, and it's 21 towns. Now, I do think that there is something to that, and that these towns in this region, all 21 of these towns, have something in common, and probably have a bigger voice in Hartford than they did when it was fewer towns. I don't know, that could be argued, but I do think all bad.
I think that's a good argument. There are positives and negatives to anything that happens when you add and expand. But like you said, there's always ups and downs. There's times where it's going to be beneficial, and when you can have a more powerful voice, it's more beneficial.
It's more beneficial, and I think those first selectmen in those 21 towns have gotten to know one another better just by meeting, in Goshen, and just by hearing what their common ground is, from one another face to face. There's something good about that.
All right, I love the picture on the front page about the stone wall that's exposed in the basement of, and you actually get an idea of the size of this building with that picture.
Isn't that true? Look at the size of those stones. Those of us who have old homes in this area, the stones in our basement aren't that big. This is a great photo of the depot in North Canaan undergoing its complete renovation, and this photo is so evocative of what that building really is and what they're working with to bring it to full use. And it's such an exciting time because it's getting closer and closer, and walls are getting painted. Things are, you know, there are ideas of how to use the space within the depot. Of course, we have the brewery coming for one side of the building. And read this article because one of the people Cynthia interviewed came up with an idea of having a candy and coffee shop in one of the spaces in there. Who wouldn't like that?
That's exactly right. And that is a revitalization project. I think once it opens up, I think you'll see more things at the Colonial Theater in Canaan because people will have a destination. They'll have a place where they can go besides just going to one particular store or one particular place. They can actually spend a few hours.
Yes, I think that's totally true for North Canaan. This is, you know, really a renaissance. Once the depot opens, it's going to be a whole different story downtown. Can't wait.
All right, let's talk about the Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association as they have a new clinical director.
Right. Stephanie Baldwin is their new clinical director, and she actually is the mother of Ashley Baldwin, who I think you all got to know during the summer as one of our interns, who was just great. And so we were really happy to see Stephanie, and Lila Hawken interviewed her about her new position there. Such an important resource for our region. Salisbury Visiting Nurse does so much for so many people in their homes to help them get through difficult periods, and this is critical for our region. So read about Stephanie and what her plans are.
All right, and I'm going to just dip down a little bit on the homepage. Listen to me talking on the homepage.
Well, you could go to the homepage and see the same thing about now, but this is actually a print that I'm looking at right now.
I know, and that's a great presentation at the Filmworks Forum and the Salisbury Forum coming together with another presentation about the plastic that's filling the oceans.
Right. I think we all sort of know about this, and we know that Great Barrington has a plastic bag ban. If you go up there, you have to bring your own bags. Do we really understand all the reasons why this is an issue we should all be aware of? So Leon Graham enlightens us on why we should be as concerned as possible about this and do everything we can to change the situation and become more aware of it. So this is Salisbury Forum, and it's Craig Leeson, who's a Tasmanian journalist and documentary filmmaker, who has this film that will be at the Movie House. I think it's January 21st.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, good. Anyway, it's fascinating, and you learn so much going to these forums that. You may think you know a lot about it, but you always learn something new. So take advantage of this great resource in our region.
Yeah, because they also have question and answer periods with it. It's free, but folks, you get there early because these things always fill up because they're really, really, really well done.
They really are, and they're free, but remember to support the Salisbury Forum if you go and find something worthwhile at one of their events.
Absolutely. Patrick Sullivan's got a story about an upcoming presentation at Noble Horizons on free speech.
Right, which we are also concerned about right at this moment for so many reasons. Nadine Strossen, who is a former president of the American Civil Liberties Union, will be with a district court judge, William Kuntz, at Noble Horizons also on Sunday, January 21st. Yeah, I guess you could go right from the Salisbury Forum to this event if you really want to be educated that day. And bound to be a fascinating discussion. It's built around Strassen's book, Hate, Why We Should Resist It with Free Speech, Not Censorship. And this is something that it's very tempting to say, well, we can't let those people say that because, you know, it's detrimental to others in the community, and they're just spewing hate. But isn't it better to know what people are thinking rather than having something come up out of nowhere and create discord? So it will be a fascinating discussion. It's at 2 p.m.
And alongside the picture of the snow blowing in Kent and Say It Ain't Snow is Bernie Drew's Nature's Notebook.
That's right. And, you know, we may have warm weather today, which we do, thank goodness, but over the past 2 weeks, we really had a deep freeze as we would love to forget but can't. And so many people had repercussions from it. Our editorialist about this week, too. But Bernie writes a really great piece about how they weathered that 2 weeks and how the birds and the animals weathered it, too. Bernie always comes up with a new take on things, so it's great.
On page A2, you're going to get deluged. Send us your snow dogs, pictures of snow dogs.
Yeah, but now it's going to rain, so, you know, send us rain dogs, too. They're always cute, and don't let them shake on you. But, yeah, we have done this before and always get great shots. We have two great shots of dogs in the snow on A2 this week, and do share your photos with us. We know you have a bunch you've taken already, so even if the snow disappears, we'd love to see them, and the more the better.
All right, on page A3, out of Kent, a firearms store will open next to the Sacred Heart Catholic Church in a retail space.
That's right, and, you know, First Selectman Bruce Adams says he's consulted with the town attorney, no logical or legal reason why he shouldn't give it his approval, and there we go. So it's up to the town now to look at it, and if anybody objects, I guess they should have been at that meeting, but people should make their voices heard if they have some objection to it. But anyway, that's what's happening there, and more happening in Kent, too. At that same meeting, they talked about the High Watch lawsuit and more.
And and what's great is we've seen streetscapes now in Salisbury, Lakeville, and in Falls Village, and now in Kent, those upgrades are going to begin as well.
Yeah, and you know, Kent has had so much happening already with moving around of different retail businesses, and really that downtown has been upgrading step by step, and now this will be monumental as far as the ability of pedestrians to walk around and to have lighting improvement, sidewalk. It's you know, we talked about, Patrick talked about in that front page article on unfunded mandates that it's hard for this region to obtain grants because there's so much competition, and we're the smaller communities up here, and we're seen as more, you know, healthy economically, but they're, you know, it's not easy for these towns to upgrade as Lakeville did this past summer. So Kent has $500,000 from the state and another $100,000 in its capital plan to completely redo its downtown. It's going to be difficult while they're doing it, everybody, but it's worth it to get through that and have the downtown be great.
Once you get it finally done, absolutely. And people should remember how long really it took, not Salisbury, but Lakeville, to get all their plans approved with the state. It was like a 5 to 7 year process. It was, I think it started when Curtis was first just a selectman, actually.
Yeah,
Salisbury.
I think that's right. And so it was a really long process. And so, you know, last summer we all had to, you know, wait in traffic and sort of complain about that. But, boy, the end product is well worth it. It's always hard to have that perspective, though.
I want to go to page A4 because I'm of the age where I happen to know about World War One and Two and the Vietnam War and all the insurgents. But there is a great poster show which is going up in Norfolk, the Norfolk Historical Society, on World War One. They've got propaganda posters and everything like that.
Right, and we more often hear about World War Two, but yeah. In this area we have been hearing a lot about World War One, and this is history that should not be forgotten. And seeing those posters really brings it all home. Some of them will be familiar. The Uncle Sam with "I Want You" for the U.S. Army. We're all sort of familiar with that image, but it really makes it real, and it's fascinating. So I hope people will go over and take a look at this. It's at the Norfolk Library, and if you want to go to the Historical Society and see more, you can do that, too. It's only open by appointment during the winter, but, you know, they're happy to open if people are interested. So don't miss this at the Norfolk Library.
You know, this story that you have in here in Norfolk out of replacing a steeple is amazing. $6,000 to replace the original church building back in 1759 today. $665,000 to $675,000.
Right, it's incredible, and I love that history that Colleen Gundlach gave us. You know, looking back to 1811 when this first was voted on to build a new meeting house, and That was the entire church. This is just looking at replacing, well, a lot, the belfry, lantern, tier, spire, and weather vane. Still, and the steeple, it's quite a difference, but they're going to do it. And this is a big part of what our New England towns are dealing with, because these churches have been here for, you know, some centuries and need to be maintained.
You know, whenever I see a story on a steeple, I take myself back to Rick Stone 25, 30 years ago when the tornadoes came through Cornwall. And for days, people were looking for the steeple for the church in Cornwall. And
yeah.
There was an old guy that kept saying to them, you're never going to find it. You're never going to. Finally, after 2 or 3 days of looking, they asked him, what do you mean we're never going to find it? And he said to them, because there never was a steeple on that church. That's a true story.
What?
Yeah, that's a true story.
Wow.
Whenever I hear a steeple story, I think of that, and I break out laughing.
Yeah, just always look up and make sure it's there.
That's exactly what
we get accustomed to thinking things are what they always had been. That's pretty funny.
You know, this is a great story. I talked about it last week a little bit with people from Sharon Hospital and HealthQuest, and that is very important that the emergency department will no longer be travelers, mostly travelers. It's going to be an in-house operation, and I think that on billing and on comfort and everything is such a positive for the hospital.
Right. Cynthia did an interview with Peter Cordeau, the president of the hospital, and it's, you know, for those of us who use the emergency room, there is a different feeling when you see the same faces and you know that they're connected to the community, and that's what this should achieve, and it's important for the region. So Peter talks about it at length, why it's important, and I will say, too, that if anyone has any issues at the emergency room or anywhere else in the hospital, Peter is always there to listen, so let them know.
You know, but this is, you know, the emergency room is a vital part for the operation. When I read in the story, I'm going to talk to them, that they lost a couple thousand visits a year, because of what had happened. Figure that out. Over 2 years, that's almost 35 to 40,000 visits. And let's say it's just $150 a visit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're realizing the money that the hospital was losing. And they're investing a lot to do it, but in the long run, it'll pay big dividends for them.
That's for sure. And part of the issue is also not just what they lose in the emergency department itself, but also the fact that people weren't going there to have more of their medical care, their follow-up done there. They suddenly have a relationship with a different location, and that's where they gravitate, you know.
And keep going on with health. Cynthia has her food for health, how to preserve vitamins and citrus fruit.
That's right. And so it is interesting to know that vitamin C should not be cooked. Anything that has any food that has vitamin C, it diminishes with cooking. But nevertheless, she and our Compass editor, Ann Day, went ahead and made marmalade out of calamondins. Now, I don't know if everybody else was familiar with them, but I wasn't, and they're really cute-looking, tiny orange-like clementine things that they said make fantastic marmalade. So take a look at that. That picture just makes you feel better, even when it's gray and cold outside.
All right, I want to go on to the sports page because people don't know behind the scenes. Andy Williams has been doing on Facebook a live Simply Sports segment, and Brian Oler came to me and said, "Is there any way that Andy could get this on cable with Linda?" And we worked out all the particulars, and Mike Flint got involved, and it took about 2.5-3 months. And now, not only being live on Facebook, it's on CATV6, and it's another great idea from someone local coming up with a good idea and taking it to the next step, and also the involvement of Brian and Mike Flint to help get it all materialized.
It's great, and, you know, Andy is so passionate about sports. You know, before he pulled this all together, I would be talking, and, you know, people don't look at me and say, let me talk sports with you, generally, but he is that passionate, and we started talking about it at Le Bon's, and he just is so knowledgeable and was so excited about just doing that blog. It's fantastic that so many people supported him to do this and that he's doing this now. So people should take note and keep track of him and engage with him. He just loves doing it, and he's good at it.
Now Shaw has a story, and it's something that a lot of people probably don't even know about, and that is outdoor ice skating.
That's right. And, you know, in this issue of the Lakeville Journal, and why not, it's January 11th, we have two pieces on ice skating. And Shaw's is outdoor ice skating in Barkhamsted. Yeah. Now, Barkhamsted is such a picturesque place anyway. We all know it, driving through to go to Bradley Airport and, you know, seeing the reservoir there. And it's a beautiful place, and they have a wonderful rink that's about 40 by 80 feet, 10,000 gallons of water, and certainly anybody who likes ice skating, it's worth a short trip to do that. So read about what Shaw's telling us as far as what they have available.
How about Patrick Sullivan's Tangled Lines, thinking about fishing in January?
Oh, right about now is when you start doing it. That's when you really, all fishers and gardeners start thinking about, then it's going to come. We know it's going to come.
Isn't that true? And that there really is something to having a hobby like that. We were comparing this to what gardeners do, too, because it gets you through these cold months thinking about, you know, what's coming and what you'll be able to do. So Patrick goes through every month what he thought over the course of last year and what he experienced during the summer, too, as far as his fishing life went. So, you know, Patrick's columns, whether you're into fishing or not, if you are, you definitely should read them. If you're not, you should also read them because they're enlightening and always funny. So take a read.
We'll go on to the opinion page, your editorial, dealing with the challenges of winter.
Right. Here we are. And so the past 2 weeks, we cannot forget because we certainly will have cold weather again, hopefully not like that for that extended period of time. But what a challenge it was, not just for individuals. So many of us who had issues with our pipes or our cars not starting, the batteries dying, but all those people who need to deal with those emergency situations, and they were just out there in the worst possible weather and did not hesitate to come and get you oil or fix your pipes or attend to healthcare emergencies. The grocery store staff was there, you know, police, firefighters, all these people who just, instead of using that time to stay in as much as possible, use it to get out there and help everybody. So thanks to them, and anybody who needs help from those people should not hesitate to ask for it. They're there for us.
I love the In the Public Interest by Ralph Nader, The Corporate Drive to Eliminate Buying with Cash. I was watching a video last night of John Pinnett talking about years ago how he went to buy in a toaster. His toaster went bad. And between all the things you had to sign and the extra warranties and all the, and then he just said, I just want to give you $35 cash for this toaster.
Yeah, how about it, you know? I mean, really. It does, it becomes maddening. And Nader does describe very well how it's, and he always looks at the corporate structure side of it in depth, and it's very enlightening here. And how long will it be before we can't give cash for anything, even locally? You know, and he makes the argument of why that would be a very bad thing.
Also on the Viewpoint page, I loved the article because, yes, Connecticut is ripe for a third-party governor. You got to remember when Lowell Weicker ran for governor, when Lowell Weicker, after he got the – it's definitely a state ripe for a third-party governor.
That's right, and you could even make the argument that the country is ripe for, you know, that third party. Our candidates last time were barely members of the party that they represented, and here in Connecticut, we had Lowell Weicker. Dick Ollis is talking about Oz Griebel. His first name is actually, he's really R. Nelson, but certainly everybody knows him as Oz, and there really is that possibility that he could be successful in mounting a third-party campaign. And Dick, as always, tells us some of this history and, gives us a great analysis on that.
All right, we have about a minute and a half left. We've got the tricolor calendar, and also a compass.
Compass. I can't believe we only have a minute and a half left. So, we have a great theater review from Jenny Hansel from the Performing Arts Center in Rhinebeck. It's Next to Normal. Not your normal musical, so it deals with mental illness, and Jenny gives us an excellent description of it, and certainly there will be many families and people touched by mental illness who could really benefit from seeing this play and would enjoy it. We have a movie review from Leon Graham, Molly's Game, which has been highly promoted, and Jessica Chastain is the lead character. Take a read and see how he feels about it. We also have from Ann Day, all the places to skate, inside or outside in the region, and just the photo she's taken of Factory Pond in Lakeville certainly makes you want to get those skates on and get out there, or at least get the younger people in your life to do that and go watch them do and take pictures of them. So, yeah, she gives a fantastic wrap-up of all the areas where you can go and skate, and indoor skating is a great thing to do all winter long. And don't forget the Tri-Corner calendar. There are still things to do around here, plenty of them, and things are lightening up. Days are getting longer. Get out there and do some things.
Janet, great job. Handle it by yourself.
Well done. Maybe that's why you're the publisher, huh?
Well, with great help from you guys. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right. Of course, Janet, we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Take care.
You too.
The Lakeville Journal, you can find them online at tricornernews.com, also on Facebook as well, and right here on Robin Hood Radio.